Happy Sabbath, everybody. I should say Merry Christmas, too. Merry Christmas. I have something I want to tell you all about here. And if you know what it is already, I've showed some of you. Don't tell anyone yet. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes, though. So I'll just put this right here. Today's message is called The Shepherd. And let's come before the Lord now and ask for his blessing before I share. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the joy of this Christmas season. And I humbly ask that you will please speak through me. And may everyone get a good picture of you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is about the shepherd. A long time ago, in the days of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And most of you are familiar with that dream. Let me come to here in Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel. Most of you are familiar with that dream. And it's about a statue. And on that statue, there are all kinds of different metals. Gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Let me find Daniel here. And okay, so King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and he did not know what the dream was. He called all the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayer, you know the story. And then Daniel, with wisdom from God, he ends up coming to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells the interpretation of the dream. Well, after Daniel tells the interpretation of the dream, he gets promoted. Let's look in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Daniel 2, 48, and then it says, "Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon." So you may be wondering where I'm going with this. Well, it will tie into the story of Jesus. So Daniel here was made chief administrator over all the wise men. And this happened to be in the east. So let's take a look over at Daniel chapter 4, verses 4 to 9 now. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And this time the dream is about a big tree. And this dream actually really scares King Nebuchadnezzar because he knows that something bad is about to happen. Well, Daniel, who is chief of the magicians, the astrologers and the soothsayers, comes again, and he tells the interpretation again. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar is blessed by this, and things move forward. But what I want to point out here is that Daniel was, again, he was still the chief administrator over the wise men in the kingdom of Babylon. And as the kingdom of Persia came in and took over the Babylonians, Daniel was still an administrator up high in the kingdom. So Daniel was coming into contact with all these powerful wise men in the east. And then he had some things he probably shared with them. He probably shared prophecies about the coming Messiah, the King of the Jews that was about to come. And he sowed some gospel seeds for the people in the east. And here's one of the prophecies that he may have even left to them as a heritage. In Daniel 9:25, this is a portion of one of the prophecies that God gave Daniel. It says in Daniel 9:25 that says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince There shall be 7 and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Well, this part and the rest of the prophecy tell us about the time when Jesus was going to be anointed and crucified, and when the gospel would go to the Gentiles. So this is one of the prophecies that Daniel may have left with those wise men, among other ones. And he left a prophecy with them about a great king of the Jews who was going to come. He was not only going to be a king, but he was going to be the great shepherd for God's people. And in the next part of the message, we'll get to hear some more about that. Now, I'd like to invite Serena to come up and share her special talent with us. You need a music stand? Okay.
I'm going to be playing Hark the Herald of the Angels Sing.
So the next part of the message comes from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, if you'd like to look in there. And let's see. Oh, yeah, I mentioned this here. This actually is a thermal imaging camera. And this was a gift kindly given by the Albemarle, Pittsburgh, and Carthage churches. And thank you for all of you that contributed to this. It's really fantastic, actually. So when you look through this, you can actually see body heat. So if I were to look through this right now and look at your faces, I would be able to see white parts and orange parts. And there's even different ones like multicolor palettes, all kinds of stuff like this. But these wise men who came seeking Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, they were not using thermal imaging. They had something even better guiding them. They actually had their own personal star that was guiding them to the place where the Savior, the King of the Jews, was going to be born. So let's take a look at that story right now. So in Matthew chapter 2, it says, interestingly, it begins, "Now after Jesus was born." I don't know if you all have noticed this detail before, but the wise men actually came to visit Jesus a while after he was born. They didn't come right when he was born. And there are a few more details that'll show us that. But they came to find the King of the Jews. So in Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." You remember I mentioned that Daniel was the chief magician of the astrologers and the soothsayers and all these people? Well, there's a good chance that they knew partially about a coming Savior, a Redeemer, a great shepherd to come because of Daniel. See, Daniel left a heritage for God in the kingdom of Babylon and Persia. So it's quite possible that these men partially knew about the coming shepherd, the coming Savior, because of Daniel. I found that pretty interesting. So here's what happened. These wise men came from the east, and they came to Herod, and they said, in verse 2, it says, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." So when Herod heard all of this, he was pretty upset, because when Herod heard that someone called a king was going to come, this upset him, because he didn't want to lose his power. If someone was going to come as king of the Jews, this was a threat to his kingdom. And so Herod did much like Nebuchadnezzar had done in the past. He called all the people who might know something. He called them all together and he said, "Hey, what do you guys know about this coming king? What do you know about this coming king of the Jews? Tell me all you know about him." And then they said to him, these were some of the people, Jews, they were maybe non-Jews, whoever could possibly know anything said this to Herod. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, in verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not you the least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." This is the coming shepherd. Then Herod, he secretly called the wise men together. He said, "Okay, everybody, come on over here. You go find this king, this shepherd that's going to come, and I want to worship him because he's going to be great." So they listened to Herod and they said, "Okay, yeah, we'll do that." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star showed them where Jesus was at. And here's the other detail that shows that this was actually a while after Jesus was born. It says in verse 11, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother." They came into a house. They weren't out in a field anywhere. And then they fell down and worshiped him. These wise men brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. They bought the best things they had for the shepherd who was to come. They brought valuable things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then after that, an angel came and secretly told those wise men, said, "Hey, don't go back to Herod. He wants to kill the child." And then if you notice later in the story, it says that Herod wanted all the children 2 years and younger to be killed. If Jesus had just been born, he wouldn't have done 2 years and younger. But these wise men, they came to bring the best gifts they had to the shepherd to come. Now, we will have the next part of our program. And this will be Ethan coming to play Away in a Manger. Away in a Manger.
Thank you.
speaking of the wise men bringing gifts, thanks to the kids and Lillian and everyone else that's brought their gifts to the Lord, Carol Lee playing too. I really appreciate all you guys bringing your talents and your skills to the Lord and offering it to bless us and Him as well. You know, those wise men, they saw something about this shepherd. Remember, they came to worship this child. Jesus could have been about 2 years old. Can you imagine these great, powerful men of the East coming to worship a two-year-old boy? What an impression that would have made on that young child. And the question is, why would we worship, or why would these wise men come and worship before the feet of a two-year-old? Really, what about this two-year-old was so special? Let's take a look what Scripture has to say about this coming shepherd. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50, and this whole chapter is beautiful, but I want to focus on a few verses here, verses 4 through 9. And I'm going to read these first. Isaiah 50, 4 through 9. And imagine Jesus speaking this, because this is what he said. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me by the morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I've set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This child that was born to Joseph and Mary, who these wise men from the East came to worship, had a character like none other this earth has ever seen. In these verses it says, Jesus had the tongue of the learned. He was wise and ready to listen to what the Father had to say. This is the key to Jesus' wisdom, is that he always had an ear to hear what the Father was going to tell him. And then in verse 4 it says, he had a word to speak in season to those who are weary. Jesus lived a life where his eyes were upon other people, not to seek and find fault like the adversary, but he had an eye to see people and the things that they needed. He paid attention. He keenly watched for everything he could do to point people to who God truly was. That was his whole life goal, was to point people to his Father in heaven. And even more, it says, morning by morning, he awakens me. He's talking about his Father. Jesus woke up every morning waiting to hear the voice of his Father instructing him, giving him plans for the day. And then it says in verse 5, he opened his ear and he wasn't rebellious. He paid attention to what the Father had to say. This is what made Jesus worthy of worship. The fact that he lived a perfect life, that he is the Son of God, that he's divine, uncreated, living since eternity past, living into eternity future. This is the child that was born to us. This is the shepherd that was born to us. And even more in verse 6, he gave his back to those who struck him and showed his face to those who were plucking out his beard. He was humble and he stayed true to the mission that God gave him. This is why this shepherd was worthy of worship. And in verse, let's go to a familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And this paints the picture of Jesus as a good shepherd, Psalm 23. And remember, this is the child that those wise men came to worship. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." How about this? Anyone who's turned there, let's read this together, actually. This would be a good time to read this together. Let's read Psalm 23 together. All right. Can I get a few amens of some people who are there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, let's start reading. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In these verses, we get a look into the character of Jesus as a faithful shepherd. In verse 1, it says, he's a shepherd. And the person, David, writing this, he says, "I shall not want." Jesus, like a good shepherd, provides for his flock. He has something ready to give those humble, ignorant, dumb sheep. We're all ignorant, and we're so, I'll put it bluntly, we're so dumb compared to the Lord. But he always has something to feed us in our time of need. In verse 2 it says, "He makes us to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters." Jesus takes us to a safe place. He takes us to a place where we can be fed, where we can be nourished and spiritually strengthened. And then all of us get tired in our day-to-day lives. By the end of the day, if we've worked diligently and faced obstacles during the day, we've given our all, Jesus gives us the rest of sleep. And even more, he promises us the rest of soul, and that is hope and eternal life one day. And even more, in verse 4, we also come through difficult times in our lives too, but we can have confidence that Jesus, our good shepherd, is leading us through those difficult times because there's hope up ahead. The shepherd that the wise men came to worship has a vision. He knows where he's going. We may not fully know where we're going, but if we follow Jesus, our good shepherd, he'll take us through that valley that we're in, that place of darkness. And we'll come to the light that he's got promised for us. And then, even in danger, he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And after we've come through all the difficulties of this life, just like Jesus was born and experienced this life like us, he's got a promise for us. He wants to anoint our heads with oil. He wants our cups to run over. Now, that may not happen in this life, but it will happen in eternity. And we have a shepherd that's taking us, leading us beside the still waters, the green pastures, taking us through the valleys of the shadow of death. And he's got a cup full for you, and he's going to anoint your head with oil. And that is one of the joys we have to look forward to this Christmas season, is that we're going to get God's blessing in eternity. And we have hymn 143 together, and Carolee's going to play piano for us. And let's stand together and sing this one. Let's all stand together. Hymn 143. Thank you, Carolee. Oh, you all may be seated. So this is the last part of the message, and you know, like I mentioned, those wise men, when they came to Jesus, they brought the best that they had for him. They didn't just see the mere outward appearance of a child. They looked by faith into the distance, into who that child was going to be for humanity. And they saw all those character traits in him. They saw the sinless life. They saw the selflessness, the meekness, the humility. They saw a total contrast to what the world was offering them. They saw someone who didn't live for themselves. They saw someone that lived for the good of other people. Like the song we just sang said, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Lord, at thy birth. And they fell before the feet of that child and worshiped him. And all of you have things that you can bring to Jesus. I don't know what your special talents are, but I know they're different talents than I have. And praise God, because I mentioned it before up here, but there's a reason I turn my microphone off when we're singing. It's because I can't sing well. And I appreciate all of you who can. But all of you have wonderful gold and frankincense and myrrh to bring to the Lord. And one of my questions for you today is, what do you have to offer to God this Christmas season? What do you have to offer to God? And what do you have to offer to other people? Take an inventory and take a look what you have and bring it and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Because if it's just you bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh to the people that you come around, it's just your gifts. But if you lay those gifts at the feet of Jesus and ask him to bless and consecrate those gifts for you, those valuable things that you have to offer this world will multiply and bring honor and glory to that child that was born so many years ago to us. And I want to turn over to Micah chapter 5. Let's go to the book of Micah. Micah is one of those small books in the Old Testament. And this is the prophecy that Matthew quotes in Matthew chapter 2. In Micah 5, verses 2 to 5, I'm going to read that. Micah 5, 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. This prophecy here is encompassing from the time of Jesus' birth up until the future, actually. If you see there, it says, there shall be a time when Jesus will give them up, and then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. It says that in verse 3. And in verse 4, he shall stand and feed his flock. As you're bringing your gifts to the Lord and consecrating your life to him, as we approach eternity, we're waiting for the time in Daniel 12 when it says that Michael would stand up. You're familiar with that prophecy, aren't you? It says Michael will stand up for his people. This in Micah is also a reference to the time when Micah would stand up. It says, and he will stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, they shall abide. At the end of time, the people that represent Christ to the earth are going to abide in Christ and follow him with all of their heart. There'll be no shadow of turning in their heart. They'll be like those wise men who've brought everything to Jesus. And that's the hope we have. That is the hope of our Savior being born. He came and lived a sinless life. A sinless life, brothers and sisters. Can you imagine that? That's worthy of worship. And my hope for you today is that this Christmas season you will consecrate yourself to the Lord, and that you will bring your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh to him with no reserve, and that you'll seek him with all of your heart, traveling from the east, traveling from far lands to seek the Lord and give the shepherd everything. Remember, we're just dumb sheep compared to him. But we have a shepherd who sees the future. He has the vision. Follow him with all of your heart. Do you want to follow the Lord with all your heart this Christmas season? Do you want to follow the shepherd? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, consecrate our hearts to you.